This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
Because the amount of times you go, oh, I'm playing at the Blind Dead Dog, and they're like, oh, I haven't heard of that. It's like, of course you haven't.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Good. Yeah? I thought you were going to have some Nature's Milk first. When you said you're ready, there's usually a pause, but he's straight in.
Straight in. Happy New Year, boy.
Yeah, you too. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
You can still say that for a bit.
2024, I think threshold is the first week.
Yep.
And then you're done. Then you're done with that. Happy New Year's, yeah. I think so.
What's with the accent at the beginning?
I went to New York.
Yeah. Go on then.
Hey, I'm walking here.
I haven't asked you about this at all. I thought I'd save it for the pod. Go on. Run me through it. Shoot.
I had a very good time. Yeah. Flew out to New York City on Christmas Eve.
The Big Apple.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I did not eat one apple.
No? What did you? Let's start with food.
Burgers, chicken and waffles, barbecue food, cereal, fried breakfasts, donuts, cronuts.
What are they again?
It's like a cross between a donut and a croissant.
Oh, wow.
Sort of thing, yeah.
When you say cereal, is that like the mad American cereal that we don't get here?
It wasn't really, because the hotel we were in just provided breakfast.
Oh,
so
nice.
A little bit of like scrambled egg on bagel and a bit of cereal.
Lovely.
Set you up for the day. You know.
Yeah, nice.
Save a few quid.
Yeah.
Save a few dollars. Yeah, I had a very good time, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any notable events?
Notable events. Well, I'd say it's that thing when you go on holiday and you get to your hotel.
Yeah.
You're tired, especially a transatlantic flight.
Mm.
So we arrived at around, it's probably like 6 p.m. local time.
Yeah.
Because immigration took fucking ages to get through. But then you got to go, put your bags down, go get straight out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, you just think, just stay out.
This from my dad. Just get straight out.
Get straight out. So it's Christmas Eve. Let's go for a wander.
Yeah.
No plans as such, but let's just go walk. Mm. We're near Fifth Avenue. Let's go and walk up Fifth Avenue. It's quite famous, you know. Well, let's go see the Empire State Building. At the very least, we'll go and see that and then get some food.
Yeah.
And then it was like, fuck it, let's go up the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
While we're there. So that was quite nice. It's very surreal being like 24 hours ago, I was packing away at a freshman year gig.
Mm.
And now it's Christmas Eve and I am atop the Empire State Building
looking out
over the whole of Manhattan at night. And it's very beautiful.
That morning, you're in Hillsy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in Hillsy. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're at the Empire State Building.
Yeah. So that was good. And really, it ended up being the only sort of clear night sky.
Ah.
Because the rest of the trip was a little bit misty, a little bit cloudy. So best time to go up.
Yeah, perfect.
other notable things. I'd say one thing was weird because it was Christmas.
Mm.
So I didn't know how... What's it going to be like? Is it going to be busy or is it going to be quiet? What's the... Christmas Day itself was all pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Apart from, like, Times Square.
Yeah.
There was a lot of... So there's so many people go away to New York for Christmas.
Yeah.
So that was very busy, but around all the other bits was quite quiet.
Mm.
I went to the zoo.
Nice.
On Christmas Day. Saw a snow weird. Leopard, my favourite animal.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. You know. Cool. Saw a couple of bears.
Well, they are big over there. Nah, cut that out. Cut that out.
But... did a few other things. Went to see a Broadway show.
Oh, yeah. What did you see?
We saw a show called Merrily We Roll Along, which is a new version of an 80s show by Stephen Sondheim.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little Harry Potter. There he was. There he is.
Did he have a wand?
He didn't have a wand, but he did have his glasses on.
You're like, that's like Harry Potter. Yeah.
But here's my analysis. So it's Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Go to Broadway. Now, first things I thought of, the show started very drum-heavy intro, to the overture sort of thing. Quite slightly more traditional musical sort of music. Not like a modern show, but very like, like lots of drum fills starting this piece. And I was thinking, if you're a Depp,
yeah,
big prep. You got to.
Yeah,
it's a very tricky opening, because that's as we know, speaking to old Matt Billups, you can do your homework, but then you're in show.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, Daniel Radcliffe, he can sing a little bit,
No,
he sang some tunes. He was pretty good. But the star of the show, the main character, actually, was Jonathan, played by Jonathan Groff.
So Daniel Radcliffe isn't the star.
No, it's three main characters, really.
Right, okay.
But the lead is Jonathan Groff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know him.
Probably not.
I first saw him in a show on Netflix called Mindhunter,
mm-hmm.
about FBI in the 60s, developing a way of evaluating serial killers. So quite a different role.
Yeah.
But he was also the king in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever watched that on Disney, he's that. And I think he was also in Glee. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible singer and actor. So that was really... I was more excited to see him than little Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But,
he's now nearly like 40.
Yeah. But it was just so weird going, little Daniel Radcliffe, there he is, this little Harry Potter on stage. He's fucking minted.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
But fair play to him. He's doing a Broadway show. Why
not? Is it that thing that Ricky Gervais says where it's like you do a Broadway show to pretend that that's your first love,
Yeah.
And it's not, No, I'm a serious actor, yeah.
But having recently seen the Harry Potter films for the first time, I'm wondering whether he is proof that if you just do something long enough, you can get good at it.
Are you going to slag off the child actors again?
Yeah, because they're rubbish. His acting's not great in those films, but gets better as he gets older. I think the drinking helped.
Yeah, definitely in the last film.
But then he's just done loads of weird films, hasn't he? He just does weird films now.
Have you seen the one where he was a mannequin, a human mannequin?
A Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, but I've seen the trailer. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was wild, yeah.
But it's like he was quite good in the show. And you're like, oh yeah, if you just give a 10-year-old 20 million quid and then go, you never have to work another job in your life, you can just spend all your time acting.
Yeah.
And every film or thing you do, you're going to work with really good actors who will help you.
Yeah.
One day you will be good.
Yeah.
20 years later, you'll be like, yeah, pretty good. You know what I mean? That was good. Went to see Brooklyn Nets basketball. They lost again.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay.
Other things. Mm. I found a drum shop, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
Found a drum shop. Good Hands Drum Shop.
Cool.
Right? In New York. And so I was like, go check it out.
Yeah.
Go and check it out. Sure. And if you, you know, if I was asked a question, which I was, is there anything you want from the drum shop? Oh, I mean, you know, I'll get a t-shirt for sure. Yeah. You know,
show that you've been there.
But it's like, can't buy a drum kit and bring that back on the plane.
No.
Tricky to bring a snare drum back on the plane.
Mm.
But I thought, I mean, I've mentioned it on here, George.
Mm.
I'm in the market for a pair of 14-inch new beats.
Right.
Hi-hats, you know.
Yeah, 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 I remember.
I said, well, if they've got a pair of second-hand 14-inch Shilger new beats,
yeah,
maybe I'll be tempted. Yeah, they fucking did.
Nice.
They just had a rack with some hi-hats. Oh, there's a 14-inch pair of used new beats.
Yeah.
So I bought them.
Cool.
So
that's quite nice, because you feel like there's some history there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've come from New York.
Some New York player.
Yeah. I like to think they've probably played on the great Broadway stages and not someone's wank dungeon. Do you
someone's
know what I mean?
Wank dungeon and had to quit drums because it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And now they're cursed cymbals. Whenever you play a gig, you'll be awful.
Yeah, so I've got a pair of new beats.
Nice.
At a pretty good price, if you factor in. I think they came to about £210.
Fair enough. Yeah, sorry.
Second hand, 400 new, so.
Yeah.
You do the math.
Profit on that.
Yeah.
Great.
Other than that, did a little ferry trip round, go and see the old Lady Liberty. did a lot of walking. Oh, yeah, I did some stats on the walking, mate.
Yeah, go on.
Because New York's big, right?
Yeah.
Manhattan is big.
Mm.
And talking about like the differences between, because we use the subway quite a lot.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between the New York subway and the London Underground? There's pros and cons, George, to both.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. A pro in New York, the stations are only just one level below. You just go down one flight of steps, you're at the platform, basically. London, you've got to go down a lot of escalators, boys.
Some of those elevators gone for miles.
Yeah. But it's also, when you look at the map, you're like, oh, is it worth getting the subway one stop? In London, sometimes it's not worth getting the underground one stop.
Mm.
By the time you've got to go down three escalators, cross, then back up.
Yeah.
But then when you do a lot of walking and you're like, oh, it's only 10 blocks.
Mm.
And then you're like, actually, 10 blocks is quite far.
Yeah.
Especially stopping each block for the crossing. But anyway, did a lot of walking, did a lot of subway riding. We've got some stats for you.
Yeah.
Total distance walked.
Yeah.
70.44 kilometres.
That's pretty good, isn't it? How many days?
Which is, 5 days.
Yeah, nice.
Which is 43.77 miles.
Yeah.
At a total distance of 87,500 steps.
That's nice.
Quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you're eating cronuts, then yeah.
Yeah. You've got to counteract all the food. Other than that, went to a lot of sort of places that were featured in movies.
Nice.
Ghostbusters house, you know, the fire station, sort of the Friends apartment building.
Oh, cool.
A couple of places in Wall Street from The Dark Knight Rises. The hotel from John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
The Flatiron building, which is the Daily Bugle in Spider-Man.
Nice.
Shopping. It was just very good. Very good to get away.
Yeah.
And avoid that Christmas, that perineum where sometimes you can be a bit, oh, what do I do now? I don't know what day it is. You're just in that weird sort of zone. But this was like, we got things planned. We're going to go and do all these.
We're in New York. And then you get even back and you're like, do anything.
Yeah.
We're in New York.
You sort of like, oh, I've sort of skipped Christmas in a way.
Yeah.
But it was very nice. Very nice to go away and just have a break.
Yeah.
Have a break. But you, George, were not in the traditional perineum of doing nothing.
No.
Because you were putting in your shifts, boy.
Well,
how was your Christmas?
Let's take it from the 17th. I worked a lot over Christmas. You know, I'm part-time, but I took on extra shifts because why not? A lot of it's double pay, you know. So from the 17th to the 20th, I sort of did 3 days in a row. And then I was like, right, I'm back on the 25th, which, as some people may know, is Christmas Day. So, I mean, I'll start from the 20th. I went out that night, and I got to talk about this night, because brilliant night. Laurie Miller was there. He said he listens. He told me this. He listens to the pod to go to sleep. So right. Thanks for that, Laurie. I said, is it because you're bored? He said, no, it's just your voice, George. Your deep tones. And I was like, well, it sounds like you're bored. But anyway, I went out. I was seeing the darkness. I've got to tell you, this night, it was quite funny. I first went out with some people from work, two girls from work. They just happened to be going out. I said, well, I'm seeing the darkness, so let's go out before. So I had about 4 Guinness pre-gig, 4 pints is usually my limit for a night.
Yeah.
So this is before the darkness or even on stage. And then I get to the darkness. Dean's there. Laurie's there. My brother's there. The girls are gone by this point. They weren't coming to the gig. Had another pint. Watched the darkness. They were great. They were just, they're the perfect mix of like a great rock band, but also they're just entertaining. Like they know they're funny. And yeah. So they just sort of go with it. But also musically brilliant. And afterwards we were like, right, let's go and get a pint. And there was someone that Dean and Laurie knew who was a fan of their band, Barbara, who goes to all their gigs or something, who was called Dell, but looked like Hugh Grant. So for the purpose of the story, for the rest of the story, he's called Hugh Grant, as we called him throughout the night. So I went to the pub with Dean, Laurie, and Hugh Grant. And then Jim turned up later, a friend of ours. And we were just sat drinking. And then we saw the bass player for the darkness. We're like, oh, cool. He's here as well at another table. We were like, we'll say bye at the end. And as we were leaving, we all got kicked out of the pub. I was about to say hi to the bass player and someone got up and it was Pat Garvey. I was like, oh, it's Pat, So I was chatting to Pat for a bit. And then I said bye to Pat. And then after Pat had gone, we were sort of wondering what we were going to do. And then I saw Rufus from the darkness. I was like, oh my God, there he is. So I just had a quick chat with him. I didn't want to take up too much time. I was like, mate, sure. I don't want to keep you. He was like,
he didn't want to take up too much of your time.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
He was like, it's all good. How you doing? I was like, oh, yeah, good. Great gig. Suddenly I was like, fuck. I was expecting to just say hi. But then we had a little chat. And I did say, do you want to be on the pod? But whether he will, I don't know. But then after that, left them and went to a casino with Hugh Grant, and it was the funniest thing. I was on the whiskey by that point. Most drunk I've ever been, I think. It was good. I was having a great time, but I was also like, have I gone too far? Have I gone beyond the edge? Am I going to end up in a skip, But I thought, well, if I'm aware of that, then I'll probably be all right. But Hugh Grant just had this charisma where people were losing on the tables and he was just slagging them off. I've got to tell you this, and getting away with it. Someone was wearing like, the East 17 music video where he's wearing that like fluffy coat thing. Someone was dressed like that and lost about $1,000 on the roulette table. And Hugh Grant started singing, "Baby, if you've got to go away," whilst pointing at him, just like jeering at him. And but he got away with it because he was so damn charismatic. So good night. And then the next day I was meant to go out with Wildwood Sky, my band, for lunch in Portsmouth, but I'll be honest, I barely got up until about 5. I was dead. But then this is the thing, so
you didn't go,
didn't see them.
No.
Connor Griffiths went though, so he kind of took my place. He depped the lunch for me.
I remember Victoriana early days, we did that. We did like, let's go for Christmas dinner. And then very quickly you stopped doing that shit.
Yeah, I even while I was at the casino, I was thinking it's going to be a struggle to get. I mean, it was like 3 a.m. in the casino. I was thinking I'd have to leave at 10 at the latest. I'll still be drunk. So, but anyway, after that, yeah, my Christmas was quite rushed. So I knew it had to be Christmas Eve that I celebrated Christmas because I was working Christmas Day. So, yeah, I went back on the 21st in the evening, the day I was hungover. But then the 22nd, at a gig with Wildwood Sky. That was all right. That was just sort of like, I mean, it was electric kit.
Yeah.
I was ill, just kind of did it. And then 23rd, went to see my auntie. Then 24th, that was when we did Christmas Day. And it was nice, just me, my brother, parents. But it was sort of like, oh, it'd be nice to relax a bit. But I was thinking, I got to go to work tomorrow. So next day, I got up, went to work. 3 till 10. Next day, I was meant to be in 3 till 10 again, but ended up doing the whole day from 8 till 10. And then did another day on 27th, 28th off. Back in 29th, basically Monday to Friday, I was at work. But here's the thing. This is the thing. Elfie's away. She's still away. She went on the 20th. She comes back on the 3rd or something. no one's doing anything because it's Christmas. So I was like, well, I may as well work. And a lot of the shifts were double pay, you know. And it was quite nice. It was weird because you go on Instagram and everyone's going, oh, what day is it? I'm so full of cheese. Oh, I love when you don't know what day it is. And I'm thinking, I'm working more this week than, you know, I've worked since being part-time. But now it's all done and it's January and we're sort of back to normal. But, yeah, it's been good. Even New Year's, I didn't go out. Do you know what I mean? I just had a chilled one. Because last year was weird. I didn't know if to go out or stay in. And I ended up going out at like 11:30, which is mental. But this year, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to stay in. And I watched Vigil, and I had cheese and crackers and some Guinness.
Is that the second season of Vigil?
No, the first one. Is it worth watching the second one?
I haven't seen the second. I saw the first when it came out.
First is good.
Submarine, isn't it?
Yeah, I started watching the second and I was like, I don't know what's going on. You know, it's a whole new cast. A bit like Fargo series.
True
Fargo.
Detective, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're like, who? Yeah, I'm lost. But yeah, it's been good. You know, some good nights and a lot of work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, goals for the
goals.
Year. You said we should discuss this.
Well, see, our Christmas episode came out.
Yeah.
That was good fun, wasn't it?
It was good fun. I think next year we should plan something because I think the first year, so much banter because we were sort of like, what is this? And then most recent one sort of got more serious. And I think this coming year, we should be like, Maybe do like a Hot Ones style thing. Or maybe have it as our first filmed episode. Something to make it like, let's do it special, you know.
Okay. It's a long way off.
It's a long way off. But, you know, got to start thinking about these things because soon be there.
I'll soon be just 30. A side note.
Yeah.
The 2023 Drum and Drama quiz I gave you.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that right up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 52 episodes. I got my spreadsheet wrong. And there's only 21 guests. So
it was the way after each thing you went, well, you'd be wrong. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, even when I was going through the guests for the post, which was nice. Let's mention I did a post on Instagram, and that was nice that everyone who was in, well, a lot of people included, shared it or commented. And it was like, because you sort of, it's not like you worry, but sometimes if you have a guest on, they might just be like, right, I've done that shit. I'm never, ever talking to those fools
again.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But instead, they're all like, hey, guys, it's great. You know, have a good year. See you soon, maybe. So, yeah.
But yeah, on the Christmas episode, we sort of started talking about, you know, goals for 2024.
Yeah.
And now we're out of the Christmas bubble, Buble. We could have a little think, maybe a little chat about me and you, what are our sort of goals, really? A bit more detail.
I kind of didn't talk like that too much on that. I sort of was like, well, we got some guests. So at one point I was like, my thing was Ableton with Ren. Right, moving on. I was like, mine's not important. But now they're not here, so I'm going to talk about myself. I think mine still is just play the biggest place I've played. I think that's it. Just... I feel like it will be maybe with a new artist, if I can find a new artist to play for. And just, yeah, play somewhere that you're like, fuck, this is good. I mean, you know, I always have quite a silly, it sounds silly, but a goal of play somewhere that my nan will have heard of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a relative. Because the amount of times you go, oh, I'm playing at the Blind Dead Dog. And they're like, oh, I haven't heard of that. It's like, of course you haven't. It's like a punk venue in Bristol, you know.
Yeah.
But if you say, I'm playing the Royal Albert Hall, no one goes, ah, where's that? I never did that one. So, yeah, play somewhere that someone's...
Quite a jump there from the Dead Blind Dog.
Yeah, it's quite a jump, but, you know.
To the Royal Albert Hall. What?
But, yeah.
Okay, here's a question. Obviously, I don't expect you to have the answer.
No.
But how do you think you'll get there?
Good question. I think it's all to do with an artist playing for someone who is I don't know, either on that circuit, I guess, already, or is about to, because more and more you see, I mean, you know, friends of ours that are sort of doing the function stuff, and then there'll be a fixer or an agency or someone that has a new artist and says, are you up for playing with this artist? And then suddenly they're playing all these places. It's just, you just got to get the right artist who plays, who, you know, who ends up doing those shows.
So I think that's the tricky thing is, especially as a drummer, you've almost got to ride on the coattails of someone else.
You do, yeah.
You do. So I think, you know, if everyone had the answer to this, everyone would be doing it. But the question is, how do you get on those coattails of that artist? And is that something you've thought about?
Yeah, what is
Have you got anything in mind to be put in that position?
It's just, I think it's just doing all the right things. It's, you know, I mean, I'm going to make better promo and actually get a website together. And just talking to the right people. I think just becoming more, in it. That's why this podcast is so good, because we're sort of more, you know, more known. Not known, but like we know more people than we did. But yeah, it's, I don't know. You don't know where it'll come from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
that's the thing. It's tricky and there's no one way. And I guess, you know, so much of what we've heard from people we've spoken to is who you know,
yeah,
in it, and getting yourself immersed.
And I think talking to people
in that scene
that are doing it, you know, and have done it, and going, well, what should I be doing, you know, because they can say, well, this has worked might not work for you, but just if you do these correct things. Because I've spoken to Pat about it. I say it's so weird. There's so many things that, like, if you want to run a 10K, it's fairly simple. You know, it's hard, but it's like start with a 1K run, you know? And if you can do that, raise it a bit and just keep running. Do you know what I mean? Or it's the same with anything. You know, if you want to, I don't know, learn how to bake a cake, you just follow the rest. There's so many things that are like, oh, you do that and it's almost a straight line. Whereas drums, it feels like it's not a straight line. There's no, and as you said, yeah, if everyone knew, oh, okay, this is the way to do it, then everyone would do it. But it isn't. It's, you know, where it will come from. So I think maybe that's it. I saw something that drummer, Mark Giuliani, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, said, and I posted on my story, he was on about just keep going. Just keep going. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, because it's not a straight line. And he was like, don't be worried when it's bad. Don't be worried when it's good. So, yeah. But it'd be nice to do a few more things that you're like, oh, okay, that was cool this year. As I think Instagram's so, I mean, especially New Year's Eve, you know, people post their absolute best moments. You think how long a year is, and they put a reel of 30 seconds. You're like, fucking hell, look at all the amazing things they had going on all through the year. And it's like, it's not, you know, it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think just level up a bit more. However that is, we'll see. But it would be nice to come back. It would be nice to do the Christmas episode next year and be like, oh, I played that place. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's mine. Just play more places. What's yours?
Sort of mentioning the Christmas one, really. I'm sort of starting to plot the next, I guess, phase of my career.
Yeah.
Really? Things that will entail. I don't really know how long it'll take. I don't really know what order these things will happen in. But I think the main thing is, at some point next summer, the lease is up here at the studio, and so I've had rough plans for a while.
As in 2025.
Like 2025, yeah. As what I want to do with the studio, and I think one thing is extend the lease or not, and if not, what will I then do? Do I want to keep doing it? Do I want to? So I think mainly I really don't know how it's going to go, but kind of ideally would be that I'm able to do the same sort of thing, but on my own property.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at what that will entail in terms of transitioning from the studio here to somewhere else. That will involve, you know, buying a new place, that I can make that sort of happen. So really kind of, yeah, I've had the idea for a while, but now it's actually starting to look at the reality of that, and then setting myself up so I can do what I want to do but with a lot less overheads.
Yeah.
And it might enable me to branch out into sort of, it's kind of a pivot on the career. But that's kind of what I'm sort of thinking about a bit more seriously now.
Yeah, cool.
But certain things have to happen right, but I'm just going to start. I think that's the key thing for me. One thing, whether it is you're going to move to Brighton and try and be a drummer, whether you're going to, for me, it was when I was going to music college. You know, quite a while before I started mapping out the route to how to get there. I've got a destination in mind. How do I do it? And I gave myself quite a plentiful amount of time to try and sort that out. And even like leaving PlayStation in London and moving back to Portsmouth, I knew I wanted to do that. And I knew I wanted to get into recording somehow. I didn't know exactly how, but what it would be. But I knew I wanted to do it. I wanted to get into playing drums professionally. And it was, you know, it was about a year's worth of sort of planning and putting the feelers out there. Okay, well, where could I live? How much would that sort of cost? Are there any avenues I can sort of, okay, well, this guy's in a function band. Okay, this, I know that's an avenue I could go down. So that's what I quite like to do is go, well, what do I want it to look like? Mm. What do I want to be? And then you work backwards. Mm. This might sound all quite obvious, really, but you work backwards. But I think it's really important to give yourself a good amount of time to plan. Mm. Because you can go down many different avenues. And if you start early enough, if an avenue shuts off, well, then you switch and you go to the next one.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm. Like, you got to see, like, where the paths will lead you. And if something stops that path, okay, well, you've got plenty of time to maybe try and sort something else out. So that's what I'm kind of looking to do is really start to have the conversations that will start to get me maybe sort of where I want to be with that side of things. Other than that, just can keep the studio busy.
Mm.
Yeah. One thing I do want to do is I want to try re-skinning my kit, but doing something different with it.
Okay.
Yeah, which might sound really small and basic, but... You know, I think here's the thing. Here's what it is quite specifically is Toms, right? Toms can have a load of overtones and be quite ringy.
Mm.
And you can spend so much time in, like, you want them to be more dead. You don't want those nasty overtones and things like that.
Mm.
And I think my initial reaction has always been O-rings or moon gel.
Mm.
And I think, and one trick I've done is put like 2-ply G2s on the reso instead of a 1-ply reso to help deaden it, you know, which I like. I really like it. But I'm wondering now if actually I jumped too quickly to using O-rings rather than really getting the tuning right.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm.
Of course it does.
So... I want to switch back to 1-ply resos, and I want to try a different batter skin, and I want to see how good I can get those tom sounding without any external muffling.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to try. Because I've got, like, cymbal set up I'm really fucking happy with. Like, especially with these new beats, my 2 Sabian Crashers, my Sweet Ride. It's like, that's the best cymbal setup I've ever had.
Mm.
My BDC snare, fucking love it. I reskinned that recently.
Mm.
That sounds fucking sweet. Kick drum's always... I've been happy with my kick drum with the old EMAD 2. But it's like, toms. Mm. Can I just get them to really... I feel like I've got a really good punch. But maybe I want to try and get him to, like, sing more. Mm. That makes sense.
It does.
That's a little goal.
No, that is a good goal. When you said reskin your kit, I was like, what? But no, I get what you mean. Because
reskin it with a real specific aim in mind. Yeah, what I'm after.
Seeing someone talk about this once, saying, you know, when someone tunes a kit, they'll often make it so that the toms sound good if you just batter them, but it's trickier to make them sound good if you're tapping them lightly. You know, and he was like, it sounds the same, not the same, but like the same tone. Because sometimes you can almost cover it up. Like, if a kit doesn't sound good, if you whack it, it'll be like, oh, well, it's so loud, it doesn't really matter. But then if you try and play soft, then it's like, oh, that's noticeable. And I think maybe that's, you know, what everyone does. Like, ah, that'll do. And then you put a wallet on it or something on a snare, and you're like, ah, now it sounds fine, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah.
Because I think it was...
Ollie.
It was Ollie, wasn't it? He said that there's no external muffling on Bastille's kit.
Yeah.
And Woody's kit. So it's like, okay, there's my challenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a nice little challenge that I wanna try and do.
It's a good challenge.
But other than that, keep up doing the podcast.
Well, I was gonna say, to end, what goals do we have for the pod?
Keep up the doodling. Keep up the doodling.
Yeah.
I think more guests.
I think, I was saying this to you before, it was really nice to have... Well, did I say this on the episode? I haven't said this about the post, have I?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Fucking hell. It was like a long episode. That was just nice. And I'd like to have that again next year, you know, and be like, cool, look at the people we had, you know.
Well, this is it. I think there's so much when you're in the midst of something and you're doing something... And we're doing this whilst doing other things, you know.
Yeah.
And you do it and you do it and you do it. And then it's when you look back.
Yeah.
It can be when you look back and you go, oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I listened to
we did
to
well
the,
there. Or yeah. Whether it's a song you've written or something you've done or you doing your triathlon or whatever, your Ironman. It's like in the midst, it's hard to see the clarity. You do it. And then I get it with, I work on a record and I think that's the worst thing ever made. Like, yeah. I've fucked that up. I've made music worse.
Yeah.
And I should be trying to make it better. 6 months later, I listen, I go, oh, that was good, actually.
Yeah.
But when you're in the midst of editing a fucking guitar and, oh, does this sound right? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, what's my reverb like?
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, you listen to it and you go, yeah, sounds cool.
Do you reckon part of that is because you kind of, you're so judgmental at the time? Like, if I listen back to an episode when it's done, I'm like, oh, that was, oh, why do we have that? But I listened back to the Jay Sakura one yesterday, or I think it was New Year's Eve. I went for a bike ride. We got like a bike track near mine. So I was just listening to it, cycling around. And I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm proud of this. This is like, this is all right. Like, if I listened to this as an interview someone else did, I'd be like, oh, this is cool. They're asking good questions. And it's like, I think
it's perspective.
Yeah, it is. And I really like the process of, funnily enough, Kira talked about it when she was on, saying, you know, she didn't have as much time to prep for a guest and then it's noticeable. And I really like when we research a guest and then I have like pages of notes, like, okay, they did this, talk about that. And you sort of a bit nervous and then you spout out a load of shit and then you got the episode and you're like, oh, it's done. And it's done forever. And then it's up online forever. And it's cool. I always feel like our interviews are like, that sounds mental, but like a time capsule. Do you know what I mean? All those drummers, like whatever they got going on, that's what they got going on. And it's like, you know, see how I'm doing in 10 years. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, Jack Geary can be married with kids. Yeah. So it's like, but yeah. So I think
it's just, it's perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it'll be the same for everyone. It'll be the same for, you know, Woody drumming and a big, you know, huge Bastille show.
Yeah.
And he'll play it and, oh, I was all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you watch that back on DVD in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, literally.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Because we're worried about the minutia. We're worried about the micro.
Yeah.
You know, oh, is this guitar sound? But someone, you play it to someone else and they'll just hear it as a song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll hear it. You know, whereas when you're making something, you are in the weeds, you are in the detail, but someone else don't, they just take it for, there's always, you just take it for what it is once it's finished. And the only reason, the way we get perspective on the podcast or I get perspective on a mix or a show or something like that is time away from it.
Yeah.
And then you look back and go, oh yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah.
Because you just, because you are focused on all the tiny details.
Yeah, you are.
But then once you've had time away, then you're like, those tiny details don't matter anymore. And you take it for what it is as an you know, all-encompassing episode or a song or a gig or things like that.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It is what it is. So,
but let us know what, listeners, what are your drumming goals for 2024? Ooh. And I'll tell you why, because I have noticed a couple of things and there's going to be plenty more, but, you know, people we have spoken to on the show, like, you know, seeing Connor went and did a cruise, went and played on a cruise. Mm. Like Sam Sanders was, I saw him put in clips. He did Panto this year.
Mm.
I think Laurie, like Barbara, got a big tour coming up, haven't they?
With Weller, yeah.
Yeah, supporting Paul Weller on tour. There was someone else as well that I saw had something coming up, but it's like, that's nice to see.
Yeah.
People have on seeing their careers keep going and keep developing. But, you know, drummers out there, what are your goals? Is it something, a bit of technique you want to improve? Is it something to do with your setup? Is it career-based?
Yeah.
Is it playing a show or playing your first gig or joining a band?
Mm.
Be good to hear what your goals are.
Yeah. However big or small. Because that's another thing. I think, you know, some people...
Have a big one and have a small one.
Because
I might be completely changing my life with a new house and a new business model.
Yeah.
But I also want to get my rack tom sounding good.
Exactly. Because Instagram also is, you know, a toxic place. So you know, you might want to have to be like, oh, I want to play Wembley. But even if it is just, I want a new pair of cymbals, fine, let us know. Speaking of messages in, I've got to read this one from On The Beat Drums, because it was a lovely message. I put it on our chat. I'm going to read it out on our chat, on our story. Sorry.
Please do. Please
I'm going to read it out because it was lovely. Yo, guys. Hope you're both keeping well. This will probably come across as a weird message, but today, whilst driving to a gig, I finally made my way back through all the episodes. And in one episode, you said hello to all the people who had listened back. So I'm actually that guy. Anyway, thanks for a great year of podcasts. What you are doing is genuinely awesome and great for the drumming community. Happy New Year, Jack. And that's Jack.
Oh, lovely.
Saying,
that's Jack saying it.
But,
do you know what I mean?
No, lovely message. That's what it's all about, isn't it? First of all, I find it amazing that people listen to all the episodes. Like, maybe that's self-deprecating, but that's a lot of hours, days,
sure,
probably at this point. So thank you so much for that. But also, yeah, the you know, drumming community bit, you know, we are building, whether we like it or not, something that's a drumming community. So, you know.
Well, I think you can always feel like, you know, it's links with imposter syndrome, but you can always feel like a bit of a pretender sometimes.
Yeah.
As a drummer, as a musician, as an artist, whatever. And we can sometimes feel the same.
Mm.
You know, who really gives a shit about us or this podcast? But, you know, and it's lovely if people are, you know, putting us, how do I put it, considering us or allowing us to be part of their drumming world.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether that is they just play for fun or they're a gigging musician, a pro musician, all that, that all the things you have to think about being a drummer, your gear, practice, playing, tuning, all that sort of gigging, that if part of their week and part of the zeitgeist of their drumming life, we pop into it once a week and have a little chin wag, then that's great.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
It is lovely.
Lovely to hear.
Yeah. Thank you,
and
Jack.
I like that you went back and we said fucking ages ago, well, it'd be funny if someone listens back to this. And there we go. It's
there
happened.
We go.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. I'll say one more thing and then I will shut up. We don't know how people will find, you know, there might be 15 years time someone goes, oh yeah, I wonder if there's any interviews out there with Matt Billups, you know, who's gone on to be West End extraordinaire, and then they go, oh, there's a podcast from 15 years ago, you know what I mean? Oh, what is it? That's what I like the idea of we just keep churning them out.
I think we'll really hit the peak after your inevitable court case.
Which one?
He's back in court. The downloads are up again. Should we get out of here?
Yeah, it's a long ep.
Let's get out. So, well, happy new year, everyone. New year. 2024, bring it on.
Mm.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.